You all know those kind of people, right? Nobody. There's a quick moan in the room. You know those people that are not joyful this holiday season? Any holiday season? Any day of the year? That just live life with a resting Grinch face. Y'all know those people?
Yep.
Let me tell you a secret. If you're sitting there this morning, you think, I don't know anybody like that. You're probably that person. I hate to break it to you, but that's probably you. You're a mean one. You know, we love to watch movies like this. Anyone love Christmas movies? Enjoy just watching all of them? There's not enough days in December to get them all in, especially those you have to repeat over and over and over again. I know Grinch is a favorite for many. I know there are many different versions of the movie. But the reality is this is real for us. We know a lot of people that struggle during the holidays, do we not? We know a lot of people, and maybe we're one of those people, that special days like Thanksgiving and Christmas and birthdays are just really hard, and we just would rather let them go and pretend they're not there, they didn't exist. They just put us in a bad mood. Well, the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about that and how we handle that and how we should respond as people. See, the reality is, from time to time, we're all the Grinch. Now, whoever it is that left the little Grinch figurine on my desk this week, I appreciate that. I don't know who gave it to me. Message received. Kind of like this mug that found its way into my hand this morning. I had to change my cup to preach in, but message received, okay? Today I want to talk about that. What does it mean to be a mean one, and who are those mean people, and maybe if I'm one of those people, what do I do? So let's go to the Lord this morning, maybe open up His Word and gain a little insight from the Grinch this morning. Father, we come and we ask that as we just spend a few moments reflecting on who You are, and what You've done for us, I pray that You would teach us. God, we're going to look at a couple of passages that You've written and You've shared with us, and I pray that Your Spirit would give us insight and wisdom. God, that You would open our ears to hear Your Word. God, and prepare our hearts to be changed by Your message. I pray that each and every person here this morning, I pray that You would do a work in their life in the next few moments, and they could leave feeling better prepared to live this next week. So God, bless this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to look at just two verses, 1 John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn 1 John chapter 4 this morning. Just two scripture verses. We'll reflect on them, and then we'll go home. Now, I'm not dyslexic. I know 7 comes before 8. But I want to look at verse 8 first. So I did it backwards. Is that okay with you? 1 John chapter 4. I know some of y'all are not going to be happy until I fix this, but you'll have to wait a week. 1 John chapter 4. You guys read this past week. We're going to dwell here for a moment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. What do we learn here from this sentence? Simple. Like, this is not like theology or master's level study here. This is basic. If you do not love, that means you do not know God. And you think, well, you know what? I know a lot of unloving people in this world. Scripture says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that if you don't love, that means you don't know God. Why? Because God is love. Now, I don't know what your picture of God looks like. I don't know when you think about God what you see. I know there are many in the world that they can't imagine a God that is love, because the God that they see or hear about is a God that is vengeful and hates and is punishing and is unjust and evil for making us live in the world that we live in. There's a lot of people in the world that have a misunderstood view or picture frame of what God looks like. And I get it, because the world is broken and messed up. We can all, like, we know that. But it's not broken because of God. It's broken because of us. The brokenness is a result of our sin. This book that we read and hold highly valuable tells us a story of God's plan to redeem the world and draw us back to Him. Scripture says real clear, God is love. So if we don't love, we tell the world that we don't know God. So what, Pastor? Let's look at verse 7. Beloved, it's interesting how John here kind of makes a command and then demonstrates. Love one another, beloved. For love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Hold on a second. Let's read that a little closer. Verse 7, the author tells us, he calls us name, beloved. Don't you love to be called beloved? Has anyone ever told you they loved you? Does that make you feel good? It should. He said, let's love each other. Christians, church members, friends in this world, hey, let's love each other. Can't we all just get along? Why? Because love is from God. Now listen to this real close. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Okay, I'm going to read that phrase one more time, and I'm going to ask you a question. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Is the author trying to communicate to us, does this mean, this verse in the Bible, that salvation comes by loving each other? Let me ask the question again, and I'll read the verse again. Is the author communicating to us that salvation comes by loving each other? He says this, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Have we just found a loophole to get to heaven? It says if we love, we've been born of God. So all we have to do is love each other. If we just love each other, we get to go to heaven. Is that what the author's communicating? Y'all are... No, it is not. Now, people, we can do this if we're not careful. We can pull a phrase or a word or a sentence, maybe even a paragraph out of Scripture and misinterpret some things. But that is not what he's talking about here. Here, something incredible happens in these two verses, maybe in just a phrase or so. The author is trying to do something incredible. Here we have theology and ethics coming together and uniting right here in this one verse. Here we discover something incredible. The author communicates to us the origin of love is from God. Love comes from God. Now that's a big deal. Why does that matter so much? Because there are a lot of displays of love that we see in the world that are not from God. So is that love? We've got to be careful here. We find the origin of love, and we discover the one who loves. Who is that? It all begins with God, right? Love begins with God. It starts there. Without God, there is no love. And who does love belong to? It's not a trick question. Love belongs to God, right? It's kind of like I created something, I'm the author, it belongs to me, right? If I write a book, I'm the author of that book, it's my story that I write and put on paper, I own it, it belongs to me because they're my words. When God created the world, who does the world belong to? It's God's. He made it. He's the author. He's the creator. The Bible tells us that love is from God, so who owns it? Who does it belong to? God. So if love belongs to God, what is our response in this process? I know we're dancing around something that seems so simple, but there's something big going on here. These two verses. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. Verse 8. Let's just stay there. What's the meaning here? What's the big principle that we should understand? Here it is. Listen, because you got to follow real close to get it. Okay? You with me? God is love. That's it. If you don't remember anything about today, this is big time, right? God is love. I knew that in first grade, right? We did that in Sunday school or VBS. You're just wasting my time, Pastor. Listen, though. You see, when we experience God, we're compelled to do something. When we have an interaction with God, and we experience the love that He has because He is love, it compels us to do something. It compels us to love one another. That's the change that takes place. So let's think about it. Before Jesus, we have a rightful ownership to our Grinch face. It's mine. I can wear it if I want to. But then when we experience Christ, when we discover that Jesus, what we celebrate during Christmas season, that He came to earth to die for our sins, to pay the price for our mistakes, to redeem us and give us a position in His kingdom, when we understand and experience that, it changes everything. It should. You see, when we experience God, we're compelled to do something about it. We're compelled to respond in a certain way. And that's simply, according to 1 John chapter 4, it's real basic and simple. He's not sharing something outrageous or extraordinary that we've never heard. Love one another. And when we do that, when we choose to love each other, we demonstrate to the world that we have a relationship with God and we have a knowledge of God. When we choose, like some of you wake up in the morning and just choose violence, don't we? And we say, yeah, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I'm going to be grumpy and angry to everybody that I come in contact with. I don't care who you are or what you've done. I'm just going to be in a bad mood. So some of us make that choice. But when we wake up and we choose to love each other, we're telling the world something. We're telling the world that I have a relationship with someone else and it makes the difference. I have a knowledge of something incredible. And it makes all the difference in the world. Yeah, my life may stink, and my children may be awful, and I may have all these problems, but I'm going to choose to love others because God's made the difference in my life. You see, John's communicating something incredible. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. Let me ask you a question. You know, the title of this message is, You're a Mean One. And I know you're sitting in the chair and you're thinking, no, that's not me. Couldn't be me. How do you know it's not you? Are you casting out Grinch vibes to the world? Do other people look at you and they think, well, they're just a cheerful, happy, chipper person. I just can't wait to talk to them because I'm going to be blessed. Or does people let people look at you and turn around and walk the other way? First John chapter 4, verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. You get what I'm asking, right? Because at the end of the day, when it comes to this, I'm asking you if you have a relationship with Jesus. Has Jesus really changed your life? And are you showing the world that it has happened? I know this is silly and simple. Let me ask you, let me put it this way, simple question. We're drilling down a little bit. I get it. It's okay. What does your lifestyle reveal about you? Let's just take inventory of your heart for a minute. What is your lifestyle, the way you live and interact with other people, the choices you make, what does it reveal about you? Put it another way. You walk around with a billboard on your forehead every day. What kind of message are you broadcasting? Let me read our verse one more time. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. This is my favorite shirt. I want to share it with you this morning. It's just a simple black t-shirt. And I know I'm wearing a t-shirt. And I know some of you don't like it. but you're going to get over it for a minute. You see, my wife bought me this t-shirt, and it says awesome on it. And when I wear it, I feel awesome because it says awesome. And so I've noticed that I've had good days when I wear my black t-shirt that says awesome. And it makes me feel good. Now, it's a simple black t-shirt, and it's got cheap letters on it. But it's an awesome t-shirt. Now, those of you who are critical of me this morning, let me just say this. Men, I bet your wife hadn't bought you a t-shirt that says awesome. And I'm proud to wear it because my wife thinks I'm awesome. So I could care less what you think. Some of you are sitting there and you think, I can't believe a pastor would wear a t-shirt like that to preach. I'll tell you what kind of pastor would wear a t-shirt like this. An awesome one. It makes me feel good, and it puts me in a good mood. And I'm happier when I wear my awesome t-shirt. Now, let me tell you something. That'll preach. You know why? Because there's a simple truth that we can live by. That we can discover if we read the Word and we obey it. Everybody has a choice. You wake up every morning and you make a decision. You choose to be a Grinch, or you choose to be happy and joyful and share the love of God with the world. You have a choice. You have a choice. 1 John chapter 4 says, if you don't love, you don't know God. And I'm going to just say this, because I believe with all of my heart that we have a room full of people that loves Jesus and believes in the Word of God. But sometimes we just struggle to make the choice. So let me make it easy for you, okay? You are broken and dirty and sinful. Like, we try to cover it, but that's the reality. Each and every one of us. Like, we all have things we don't want the world to see. Let me tell you something. What we're celebrating this month is the reality that Jesus came and washed you clean. He died on the cross for that sin or that mistake or that thing you're trying to cover up, and He wants to give you life. He wants to give you position in the kingdom of God. He's given you a place to live and dwell forever. And we have a choice to make. Are we going to choose to be a child of the King and live in His kingdom? Or are we going to choose to walk in darkness? We all have to make that choice. But the Bible's real clear. If we love God and we know God, then what are we going to do? We're going to love each other. We're going to wake up in the morning. We're going to make the choice to love others, to not be a Grinch. Some of you think, well, you know, you don't know my history, or you don't know my background. There's a reason why I have this face. You don't get it. Come back next week. We're going to talk about that. We know full well, if you've seen these movies, that there's a reason why he's not happy. We'll talk about it. But let me just tell you, I don't care what's happened yesterday. The reality is, today is it for you. Every single one of us, this is it. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't matter. So let's choose the right thing today. And let's love each other. Scripture's real clear here. We all have a choice, so let's take full advantage of it. I don't understand why we want to wake up every morning and choose to be angry and mad at each other. I don't understand why we want to wake up in the morning and choose to be grumpy and upset about the world. When we've been given a gift to share, and we can choose love. I would rather live today and my children know that I love them. I would rather live today and get the most out of it that I can with my wife, because I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. Why can't I make it the best marriage and the best family that I can make today? Why? Because God loves me and He's forgiven me and He's called me right here to love each other. So why do I not do that? Because I've made the wrong choice. Each and every one of us have a choice to make today. Choose love. Choose to experience the love of God. Choose to let God dwell in you and with you. Choose to come to know, love, and obey Him and love others. If we would all do that, our world would look a lot different, would it not? We would all be walking around with awesome t-shirts. It's kind of funny. This message has been sitting on my heart for a while. And the reality is, it hasn't changed from what we've been preaching for the last few years. Our core values of our church are simple. Know Jesus. Love Jesus. Obey Jesus. Simple. If you know me, you will love one another. So guys, let's do it. Let's do it. It's fun to be grinchy and play with these games, but the reality is it's so much more fun to choose to love each other today. Choose to experience the love of God today and share that with the world. So as we go, here's my challenge. Number one, if you have not leaned in fully to the love of God, do it today. If you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior, if you have not washed that sickness out, if you have not allowed the blood of Jesus on the cross to cover you, let's make that choice today. Number two, good Christians, I don't care. There's no excuses. Let's make the better choice and choose to love each other. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. It's so funny. We tell our kids that so much when they're growing up, don't we? Jesus loves you, yes. Well, how do I know? Because the Bible tells us so. Then we turn around and we're evil to each other. Let's choose love today. Let's choose to make a difference in someone else's life this week. Let's clean our face and make a better decision for tomorrow. Who knows whose life it will impact for the kingdom of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to live today. God, you haven't guaranteed that to many. Now, there are some that have not woken up today. There are some that are no longer with us, and we grieve the loss of them. But the reality is, God, you've given us today, and I pray that we would take full advantage of it. God, I pray that when the world looks at us, they wouldn't see a mean one. But they would see someone who has experienced love from you and is striving to love others. So God, here in the next few moments, just fill us with your love and prepare us to go out and share it with the world. Remind us that we all have a choice to make every single day. So God, I pray that we would choose to be obedient to your word and share that love with the world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.